from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The truth is that when those elite receivers left those quarterbacks were still really good. Wide receivers don't really make quarterbacks. They make quarterbacks' lives easier. But the fact of the matter is, there aren't a lot of examples of quarterbacks who lost elite receivers and then suddenly they weren't good anymore. People said the exact same thing when Calvin Johnson left Matt Stafford. It just doesn't end up being the case. And I don't know why we continue to go down this road narratively when there isn't a lot of backing data on that. But the people who once again drunk at the well of the Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen and all the stat lines about Josh Allen without Stephon Diggs running its way around, those stat lines are going to look a lot different. That's my prediction for the Buffalo Bills for 2024.
Bruce Nolan on with, when did you say, Evan? It was Derek on Saturday or Derek on Friday?
Yeah, it was Derek on Saturday.
Derek on Saturday. Sports Talk Saturday with Derek Kramer on Saturday. Good morning. 803-0550 is the phone number. Nate Geary is in.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sun's out. We're at that time of year. Sun's out when you get up in the morning. Even me.
Yeah, even early.
Although I don't know about Wednesday, because Wednesday driving out to Rochester, St. John Fisher before, probably will still be dark out. Anyways, all right. I like that point there that Bruce is making. 803-0550 is the phone number. We both had some crazy golf tournaments.
We did.
Over the weekend. The Open Championship, of course, was this weekend as well. We'll have Brian Koziel coming up at 7:30. We're locked in. Joe Marino is going to come up at 8 also. We'll preview training camp with Joe Marino of Locked On Bills. So, all right, it's camp week. Are you, I don't know if you heard me on the way in, I just saw Howard writing about this too on our website. Is it fair we have to be lowering our expectations for the Bills this year? When fans show up to camp, like, this could be our year again, or is it more, do we think we're going to beat the Jets and the Dolphins this year for the division? I don't know. I don't feel like I'm automatically going to be lowering expectations. Like, I'm sure some will, and I'm sure that will be fair, but I'm not all the way there. I'm very curious to see what the vibes are going to be like at camp on Wednesday when fans show up. What's the vibes? Because 2 years ago, it was a party, and everyone's picking them to win the Super Bowl, and Von Miller's here, and they should have won 13 seconds and the Super Bowl, so we're feeling good. And this year, I think, is very different. Very different.
So, I'm not sure that there needs to be a universally accepted thought process.
Vibe check.
Yeah, that you need to walk into this training camp with, because I think, Joe, it probably differs. It differs for a lot of people, would be my guess, and it will differ based on kind of how you're looking at this training camp. I think this is the first training camp that I said this to Sale on Friday, this might be the first training camp since Josh Allen's rookie year
mm-hmm.
that fans, media, like we have stuff to do other than talk about last season.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
and more than just like, hey, how much is Jameson Crowder going to play on their offense? Like, it's more...
We got work to do. We have, media, fans, everyone's got a little bit of catching up to do on, A, the changes, the roster, B, you know, looking at what the differences are going to be offensively, because there will be differences. And it's funny, Bruce is a good buddy of mine. The sound we heard from Bruce about him kind of pseudo-predicting that Josh Allen's statistics without Stephon Diggs are going to look very different than they have before. I was like, I want to be like, yo, Bruce, what a take. Hot take. It's got to be. I mean, it's going to be remarkably different. And he's either going to prove, again, without a reasonable doubt, that he is one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the league, or it's going to be by the end of the season that in order for Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl or be considered one of the best quarterbacks in the league, he needs a true number one target. And listen, we will never likely, I mean, we will at some point, I'm sure, know whether or not Patrick Mahomes can be Patrick Mahomes without Travis Kelce. But we're not going to know that for at least two or three more seasons. And maybe we'll know about it by next year, because maybe this year we see a visible step back from Travis Kelce from being that like dominant.
Mm-hmm.
There were signs last year, and then he turned it on towards the end of the season, and he looked rejuvenated, and obviously, you know, Bills playoff games.
Can I tell you why I'm not holding my breath for that? I don't, not to get too off subject here with Kelce, but the Chiefs did open camp, by the way. Kadarius Toney's playing running back. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
You know why I'm not holding my breath? Kelce is we're gonna see the decline this year. I don't know how healthy he was last year. Do you remember the injury he suffered in camp?
Yeah.
I mean, that injury, he suffered it. I forgot what the exact injury was, but I do remember that everyone was like, well, this is a 4 to 5 week injury.
And he just played right through it.
And then he missed one game.
Yeah.
He missed one game at the beginning of the year, and he turned it on late. I wonder if he just turned it on late because he finally felt like he was coming back from the injury. So I don't know about it. He's 35, though. It can't be forever.
He is 35.
He's 35. But anyways, like, and actually, while we're on the Chiefs as a comparison, I know Kelce was there, but there would have been a question when Tyreek Hill left of, can Patrick Mahomes still be Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill? And then what did Patrick Mahomes do the first year Tyreek Hill left? He had 5,200 yards and 41 touchdowns. Again, I know he had Kelce, but Kelce didn't catch all 5,200 of those yards. You know, he didn't catch all 41 of those touchdowns. He was able to suffice with other weapons, and that'll have to be Allen. Like, Mahomes started... Look at that year for Mahomes. No Tyreek Hill. All right, can you start spreading the ball around more? Who's going to step up for you at wide receiver? And would you look back and think somebody did? I would look back and say, I don't even know if anybody did. They just had a couple guys who were pretty good, right? Juju Smith-Schuster had 100 targets 2 years ago for the Chiefs.
Yeah, not that long ago.
So he had that year with Juju Smith-Schuster leading his wide receivers in targets. Maybe that's not a bad comparable for the Bills. I think Curtis Samuel is a better football player than Smith-Schuster was, at least at that time, because he had knee stuff. Smith-Schuster did.
Yeah, Smith-Schuster has not really been the same player since he left Pittsburgh.
But I don't, like, I'll tell you who agrees with the idea, though, that his numbers will look markedly different. Allen's betting line for passing yards is 3,700 yards.
And he had 4,300 last year?
He hasn't had less than 4,200 in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
3,700 yards. That would be a big drop-off.
How much, and maybe this is a silly question, maybe this is a question that I should be asking about Bills fans or fans rather than the media or the betting lines, but which reason would you maybe most mark that as? Or why would you support your belief or the sportsbook's belief that 3,700 yards is a good over-under because he's going to take a step back because blank, because Stephon Diggs is gone, or because you don't know what the offense is going to look like and you think they're going to run the football more? Which reason in your mind do you think is like, that's my supporting data, that's my supporting evidence, is no Stephon Diggs, he's got to come back 600 yards, or Stephon Diggs plays a role in that, but he's still Josh Allen, he's still got weapons. We think Joe Brady's going to run the football more and throw the ball near the line of scrimmage more. I might, as a person that watches the team a lot, covers the team, I might point to not knowing exactly what the offense looks like under Joe Brady, under his version of Joe Brady, more than I would say, you know, there's no Stephon Diggs. But I don't know that that would be a universally shared opinion.
I don't think it's because they're going to run it more. Like, I'm not saying they won't run it more than they have, which is second in the league. Or, excuse me, second, and they pass the ball more. I can see them not being, like, right at the top in pass rate. But I do not think they're going to be where they were at the end of last year. I can't believe their actions to me don't even say that. Their actions say at running back, like Ray Davis, fourth-round pick, and James Cook's back again, and at that body type, you wouldn't think much more workload can go on his shoulders. So I don't think it's running the ball. If his numbers go down this year, I think it's because that he has nobody to throw to. I think it's because the worst-case scenario happened, which, hey, that's out there. There's a best-case scenario where Keon Coleman is great right away, and Samuel is a guy that... Okay, all the lists you've seen of who's thrown the ball to Curtis Samuel, how Kyle Allen has thrown more touchdowns to Curtis Samuel in his career than anybody else, all that was true.
That probably changes this year, right? Immediately, right?
I can't imagine the numbers very high, so I would think it has to. But like, if Samuel doesn't take a big step from what he's been, he's just a pretty good player, and MVS is shot, because that's kind of the warning signs from Kansas City is, hey, he lost a step. And guy that can only run deep losing a step, that's not good. Chase Claypool can't keep his head on straight. The worst case scenario is out there. And if that happens, most of that to me is at wide receiver. The worst case, because that's where the big questions are. The big questions are at that position, and will they have guys that can step up? Shakir even a little bit, not as big as some of the others, but hey, can you become more of a focal point? Can you become more of a high-volume player? You were hyper-efficient, but part of the reason you were hyper-efficient was you weren't a high-volume player. Now, stepping into a bigger role, you know, can there be more there? The one guy I won't go there with is Kincaid. Like, I can't see a scenario where Kincaid isn't at least really good for them. He might not be the best tight end in football, like we're hoping, but...
I want to ask you specifically a question, and... In recognizing that I feel I have a similar bias, I have a pre-draft bias with Keon Coleman. Neither you nor I felt he was the type of receiver, or just based on what we saw in college, I think both you and I were like, I don't love that. Like, I don't love the fit. And, you know, especially if you are the type of person that really buy stock into what the analytics community says, what a guy like Matt Harmon says, what a guy like Matt Waldman, people that really watch the game from the wide receiver position with real number backing.
Yep.
Say he should be a big slot receiver in the NFL. That's what he will best be fit for. And that the Bills openly basically came out right away and say we're trying him out at X. Like that's the plan for Keon unless something dramatically changes. So is it because of my several people's pre-draft bias about Keon Coleman that maybe your expectation for him is considerably lower than maybe it should be? When I hear pundits, when I hear people talking about how he could have a big season, it's not that I immediately dismiss it, but I feel like I scoff at it a little bit. I say, I'm not sure I'm really buying Keon Coleman stocks year one. It's really to me, and listen, this happens in every walk of life. It happens at your job. It happens when, you know, you don't know a player or a person and you have a preconceived bias or a notion about him that in ways, Joe, it's very possible you and I might look for things to solidify our pre-draft take on him. I think that, I mean, just like I was about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Bills fans who didn't believe Josh Allen was going to be good, you quickly change because he's on the Bills and you want him to succeed.
If
If Josh Allen played for the Jets, got drafted for the Jets, maybe you are still doing exactly what some other fans and this anonymous GM is doing, which is saying he's overrated. You might still do that for Josh Allen if he doesn't play for your team. But I think I'm wondering in your eyes what has to happen and when it has to happen for you to immediately move to say, okay, I was wrong on this kid. He is the future and he is going to be a huge part of this team.
I wonder if I'll get there before games are played. Like I am.
Yeah.
It's natural. Right. Everyone does it in every walk of life. It's natural to look for evidence that supports your preconceived notion. Right. Your my pre-draft opinion on a lot of players. Sure. That happens. What I try to do, and again, it's not always doesn't always happen. What I've tried to do with Coleman is, okay, I came in with an opinion of him that this is the guy I want them to, of that position. And listen, I want them to draft that position no matter what. And I'm not going to be mad no matter who it is. But if I can be picky at all, that's the guy I don't want to see them pick. And the reasoning for that for me often was, right, there are two things. One, he doesn't separate. And a lot of the guys who watched the film, too, said that. Like, he doesn't separate. There's some sloppy footwork stuff. The route running technique needs a lot of work. And then there were some of the number arguments, too, about yards per route run that kind of went in line with that of, oh, he wasn't even Johnny Wilson, who was, I think, a fifth-round receiver in this draft, 6'7", giant, lumbering receiver that went to the Eagles. Had a way better yards per route run number than Keon Coleman. How did that happen? How was he not even the top guy in his team at things like that? So that was before he got drafted. Since he got drafted, I feel like I am looking for, okay, why am I wrong? Show me why I'm wrong. Why is this going to work? Because that was Allen for me. Allen, they picked him, and it was, okay, I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that the guy I didn't want them to pick is going to be great, and then that happened. It happened. And in part, it was because the thing that no one thought he could get better at, being accurate, he got better at.
Yeah.
Coleman, I don't want to say he can't get better at it, but I feel like it's hard to get better at route running technique and your ability to separate to the extent that he'll need to get better at.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
He will need to be better at it.
So to me, like, I want to see in camp right away and in preseason and early in the year, okay, like, what are we really looking at for this? Are we looking at someone that just cannot get open at all? And it's going to all be jump balls. It's going to all be contested catch. Or is it better than we thought? Were we over-exaggerating how slow he was because of the 40 time? Are we over-exaggerating, you know, how bad he is as a route runner? Like, how good is this all going to actually look? I've been looking for evidence and opinions that kind of point to, okay, no, this actually isn't that bad. I have found them. There are plenty. Doug Farrar is one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Doug Farrar's
huge on Coleman. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that are big on. Mina Kimes likes Coleman. I'm trying to think of, there's someone else that I'm missing that really likes the idea of him too. But whoever it is, I've seen a bunch of people that are in the weeds on this stuff that like Coleman, but you know what they all say? Big slot.
Yeah. Almost universally
big slot. I haven't seen anybody, I'm sure there's somebody, there's a lot of microphones out there, there's a lot of websites. I'm sure someone has the opinion, I just haven't seen it or forgotten that I've seen it. Where is the argument that what the Bills plan on doing with him, which is having him be an X receiver, playing on the outside, press coverage, who's out there saying that that's the move for him? That's where I'm worried. Because if he can't play on the outside, I don't know who's doing that. I don't know who on the right. Matt Collins is doing it. MVS is doing it at that point. I don't want to end up there. You need Coleman to at least be competent at that spot.
Let me quickly read a scouting report under weaknesses under this player, and let me see if you can. And
for
I know Coleman? We've done this.
For any player.
And I know Jeremy has done this a bunch because
we did it before the draft a lot.
It supports, I guess, kind of what we're talking about. But I want to read this, and then I want to ask you specifically about this player and how he maybe projects or could be similar to Keon Coleman. Not that I think that these players are the same, and I want to tell you why. But let me read through this report real quick. A little upright through his routes, lateral quickness out of breaks underneath provide no early separation. Operated as a big slot, but lacks separation quickness to open clean throwing windows underneath for the NFL for NFL quarterbacks. Build-up runner who doesn't seem to eat up with the early cushion. Some scouts question his ability to be productive as a starter, as an outside receiver. Excessive fakes and jukes into breaks at times. Will need to win more efficiently on routes. Protracted gear down, getting into breaks for deep comebacks. So basically a guy that's easy to guard. Right, easy, and maybe does too much with his routes or tries to juke and do. Who would you say that I just described?
The name that was in my head was Treylon Burks, but I feel like it can't be him because
it's not.
I think what we're leading to, this is a good player. This is going to be a good player.
It is a good player.
It kind of sounds like Coleman, too, which again is part of the point.
Which is why, yeah, I brought this one
up. It's a good player. Is it Larry Fitzgerald?
It's not.
Who
I'll
is
give
it?
You one more guess. He's currently a current player. Has had injuries the last couple of years, so maybe not on everyone's top of mind.
He's had injuries the last couple of years.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I don't know. Tell me.
Cooper Kupp.
That's a slot guy.
Big slot.
He's an amazing slot.
And
but,
I don't view him as a big player. He always has been. He's 6'2".
All right.
It's not huge, but I guess where I'm going with this is, and this is easy to say about anybody, and again, it will be easy to say for anyone that plays in a Bills uniform when you want to make a point about this. But what I'll say is what you're asked to do in college, what you do in college, doesn't always have to be what happens in the pros, right? And Keon Coleman 6'3", Cooper Kupp 6'2".
Yep.
Like, these are players that had similar scouting reports. He was a big slot in college and didn't really equate out to a good boundary receiver. And Keon Coleman's going to have to make that same transition. To me, when I think of those two players, I don't really see the same player.
Yeah.
You feel like they're better at different things. And Cooper Kupp became an unbelievable, if not the best route runner in football, one of the best route runners, especially in short space. He creates separation by being very good at route running. I think if Keon Coleman's going to be great, that he's going to have to build a repertoire of route running like we see from Cooper Kupp.
We got to break and get to Brian Cozio, too. The one thing, too, that's on hand here with Coleman, not even just like the specific, you know, scouting stuff, is we're rewinding with Coleman on some elements to when Allen was a rookie. How much do we want to count how good you were in college? Because, like, I'm looking up Kupp for this. He was Eastern Washington, so he's an FCS guy, which kind of makes this a little tough to compare. But Coleman had 1,500 yards in college. Total. In his career. Cooper Kupp had 6,500.
Isn't that crazy? The production level, yeah.
So again, that's another element here. Like, how much do I really want to... Like, Coleman never had more than... Never had 800 yards in a season in college. So, again, that doesn't mean he can't do it in the pros. We've seen a lot of... A.J. Brown. Metcalf actually was the one. Mm-hmm. Metcalf was the one who never put up a monster season statistically in college. I think his high would have been maybe around the same, like 800. No, not even. Metcalf never got to 700. Wow. And then he showed up in the pros. He's a consistent 1,000-yard receiver.
Right.
So it doesn't have to hold up that way. But, yeah, there's a Coleman is so... I am... How do I want to label myself? I think I want to say I'm worried. I'm hoping, but I am worried he's not going to be what they hope. Because in the big worry for me there is, I think there's going to be consequences. If that's true. Hope it's not, but if he's going to be the player that all the draft critics think instead of the optimistic guys, then I think the Bills are going to have to suffer some consequences for that. Timeout here. Brian Koziol, when we come back, we'll get into more Coleman stuff and Bills camp previewing with Joe Marino coming up at 8. But Open Championship wraps up yesterday. Me and Nate had some interesting golf tournaments of our own. Also, this weekend, they weren't as windy and chilly, it looked like, as what they had over in Scotland. But Xander Schauffele wins his second major of the year. We'll get into it with Brian when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.